Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. I hope I didn't talk over the music because the music disappeared, and the engineers need to know that. It is the 25th of June on the West Coast, now the 26th of June on the East Coast and the Central Time Zone, and we are here for another round of exciting conversation, information, inspiration, and solution tonight. Before I bring tonight's guest on, I want to thank the kind people who sent me email supporting my research on Stooge number one of the Three Stooges in my series, The Three Stooges Go to Washington. As some of you may or may not know, it was published yesterday in the Idaho Observer, and it my website's been getting a lot of hits. If you want to go read the article, it's at directlightproductions.com. Of course, you could subscribe to the Idaho Observer as well and read many other fine articles in that paper. And let's see, I also have a preview piece on Barack Obama. I got one negative email from somebody who was just all over the place. I guess they're just taking general comments I'm making and drawing conclusions. and they're actually, you know, I'm wondering even when I show the proof if this person is going to even understand what I'm doing in these research articles, where basically I'm going down the genealogical rabbit hole and showing many inconsistencies in the biographies and the history accounts. And I should say historical, but they're his story accounts. These are feel-good folk tales, as I describe them, intended to obfuscate the truth and to hide people's real identities and their real connections. There are enough people out there spreading the word about McCain that I really don't have to write anything. No one had really done this type of genealogical research, and it really gives you a whole new perspective on who John McCain is. And I can guarantee you the forthcoming article on Barack Obama and the one on Hillary Clinton will tell you quite a bit more about who these people are. They themselves may be surprised to find out what has been uncovered. Anyway, that is one thing going on. I haven't heard any updates on Michael Reagan and his threats to all 9/11 truthers. Actually, he took out a contract on the air encouraging those with guns and bullets to shoot and kill anyone who's a 9/11 truther, and he offered to pay for the bullets. To me, that sounds like solicitation to commit murder. He actually directed these threats directly to Mark Dice, and it seems to have died down. Now, I had heard that he left the country abruptly, which is kind of interesting. I wonder which country he went to. Maybe he went to Iraq. That would be interesting. Maybe he went to the front lines. Nevertheless, that's the type of insanity going on, even in mainstream radio now. They've got large listening audiences, and the claptrap about what good our president has done in the process of, and I'm being a bit sarcastic, slowly dissolving or evaporating our civil rights. And basically, the total destruction of the Constitution is happening before our very eyes. And these people are telling us that we have to be afraid of terrorists, and we have to be afraid of the flu, and all these other diseases. You know, our food is being poisoned now. Now it's tomatoes. I talked about this on the TNT Hour yesterday, how they let illegal aliens come into the country to pick the fruit and vegetables, and they don't wash their hands after using the bathroom. And this is the cause for this massive infestation of Salmonella or E. coli contamination of our foods. And then you have corn being taken out by flooding, likely precipitated by the ramping up of HARP and the weather games that are going on. It just never ends. It never ends. And these people just outdo themselves on a day-to-day basis as to how sinister and how evil they actually can be. But we're going to keep a level head. I urge anyone listening to this show to do some research on your own before coming to complete conclusions about what you might hear from me or my guests on the show. Our intention is to bring out the truth, shine the light of the truth on the darkness, on the evil, so that you can make intelligent decisions and start taking care of yourself. And with that, I'd like to bring tonight's guest on board, Evident Footprints. He's been on the show many times, and he is a multifaceted individual. He's an environmental scientist. He is a nutritional and health consultant, as well as having a background in research, in history, and he's even a musician. So he's a multi-dimensional individual that is also a fine Christian man and a staunch American patriot. With that, I would like to welcome again to Evident Footprints, Michael Anthony. Michael, good evening.
Don, good morning, sir.
Well, I said good evening because on the West Coast it's still evening. But
I love to say good morning, Don, every time.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you for that intro.
In fact, it's 1:11 right now, isn't it?
Yes, sir. New York time. It's early in the morning.
Yep. So,
but thanks for inviting me on, Don, and as always, great to be on your show.
Yes, you've got to hear my intro, I suppose, and it just gets crazier and crazier, doesn't it?
It's definitely getting interesting. I would liken it to a pot of water boiling on a stove with a lid on it, and that water is just starting to come up to a boil, I think.
Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think is going to happen? Is the lid going to blow off, or is the bottom going to melt?
Boy, aren't we all waiting to find out. We're at crossroads, and I cannot ascertain confidently yet where we're going to end up. And so, unfortunately, I wish I could give a concrete answer on that one, but it's still up in the air. It all depends on the American people and how they react and respond to all of the external stimulus that they're going to be prompted by from here on out. And in particular, of course, the external stimulus referring to the traitors in Washington, D.C., the foreigners running our government, which you cover extensively in all your publications and on your radio shows. And they're going to definitely be stimulating us to with a problem reaction solution technique, create a problem so they can get us to react a certain way, and then they'll come in with their solution, which will then be more appealing because of the problem. If it wasn't for the problem, a solution of that nature would not seem necessary in any way, and actually maybe even a bit offensive. However, once a problem comes about that can get the people to react and respond in a certain way, where now this solution seems, wow, great, let's do it. That's how they manipulate us, of course, and there's going to be a lot more of that. So it all hinges on how the American people react and respond to this, to these new stimulus that they're going to send their way. Let's just hope and pray they don't start World War III with the invasion of Iran.
Yes. Now, I had the opportunity this evening for a few minutes to listened to Daryl Bradford Smith, who was on Rick Adams' show on another network. In fact, I have to admit, I sometimes listen to other networks. Mm-hmm. And I was particularly interested. He was on Rick Adams' show, as you may have surmised.
Yes, great show.
And it was a very interesting interview because he was addressing some of the, you know how the evangelical movement has these false prophets, and I feel, mm-hmm. and you've mm-hmm. heard me actually name a few of the people that I feel are somewhat of false prophets in the Patriot movement as well.
Yes.
And it was kind of interesting to hear him agree with many of the things I said. Now, I'm not going to go into naming the people.
Mm-hmm.
That's pointless. Just to look at what I've been saying, that we should start creating our own solutions to these problems. And in fact, you know, what is going on, and you and I have spoken about this, as well as many, many of my other guests, that what is going on is really an illusion. You could look at the majority of our experiences in life and the way things have been laid out for us to react to things that happen on this planet. And if you just take into consideration that in terms of the power that we have given to us by God within to overcome anything, really, any problem before it even comes about can be avoided. That's how powerful we are. And yet, everything that has been created on our behalf, and we have so readily from childhood accepted as reality, is, well, first of all, this matrix or this reality they have created for us is susceptible to being overcome just by us waking up and using our power. Now, in terms of solutions, if we try to create the solutions through the process that is at work, it's designed to thwart any attempt to do so.
Sure. Well, Don, let's...
I wasn't finished
first,
yet. Let me finish just making the statement.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Now, in terms of solutions... And there's something I'm going to bring up in a little bit in regard to that. But in terms of solutions, whether it's getting a job, whether it's expressing our sovereignty and reclaiming our sovereignty and reestablishing the foundation of the principles that this country was built upon, or if it's just about being healthy, about being happy, pursuing the American dream or any dream, as long as it doesn't infringe upon the sovereign rights of any other individual, what would be wrong with that? That's what a free will universe is all about. Yet this planet seems to be bent and bound and determined to avoid that free will universe that God created. Okay, so
it's been a dark planet ever since the fall.
Oh, yes. That's a given. So I'm starting to see solutions come forward. And tonight, you know, I hope to discuss some solutions. In fact, I want to mention some that I had heard. But now you have my permission to go ahead and interrupt.
Well, Don, you know, first of all, absolutely, we're powerful beings by design, as created by the Almighty Spirit. Now, they know that, and so they don't want us to be powerful, independent beings, and so they've managed to get us where we are now, where most of the people are sheep, and they lost their power. They don't know they're powerful. And so now they're looking to go to find that power through somebody else, whether it's the doctor or the government for food or for a job, and that's exactly how they want us. And why are we powerful? Well, because we're born as virtuous beings. And we lose the power by no longer being virtuous, but getting trapped in all the vices, or at least one vice. One vice is all it takes, and our power will begin to get zapped. And so that's where the power comes from, and that's how it works, and that's the solution to regaining the power. Live virtuously. It's just that simple. But maybe sometime we can get into that again with what it is to be virtuous and what are all the seven virtues, seven vices. Now, as far as the country, the United States of America, when it was established, it was the answer to all the problems, Don, of the world. It was the solution handed down by the Lord himself. Because this country, under the Constitutional Republic, which we are no longer living under, so hopefully most everyone in the audience is aware of that, we are not free. We are no longer in the land of the free. And if you don't really believe that yet, then just think about that more as you go through your daily activities and just realize how free you really are or are not. But the original Constitutional Republic brought us the ability to live in a land where there were individual freedoms unlike ever before that we know of in modern history, except maybe going back to a peak period of the Roman and Greek civilizations in their peak periods, and even Israel in its brief peak period. And the United States is the only other country that has ever delivered with the ability for individual freedoms where that, yes, we can as individuals pursue whatever we want, all the dreams we aspire, as long as we do not interfere with the sovereign rights and freedoms of our fellow citizen, neighbors, brother Americans, sister Americans. And that's the beauty of it all. The solutions are right there. But now, the mass of the Americans are very uneducated because of the dumbing down process of the government schooling. Elementary, kindergarten, high school, junior high, college even now. Those professors in college, most of them are all commie-oriented, very liberal, which is communism, as Khrushchev made clear when he was here in the 50s. We don't call them communists here, we call them liberals, as he commented to a reporter posing a question to him about the presence of the Communist Party in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the solutions are all around us, Don. We just have to grab them. But the more difficult solutions that we have to get a hold of very quickly is regarding the energy situation, because we are being denied alternative solutions for energy sources, and that's crippling us. And we have to turn that around.
Yes, I agree. Now, in light of what you're talking about, we can look at what some of the problems are. And instead of, you know, normally people are going to look to, okay, what can we do? Well, the government's doing this, my local government's this way, my state government or my county government is doing this, we have all these restrictions, we have to follow this, I'm collecting unemployment or workman's compensation, or I had to take an early retirement, I'm getting a pittance of a pension, my pension fund has been raided, there's no money there, I have to get another job, I can't retire, I'm sick, I have to go to the hospital, I have no health insurance. We have all these issues, and I'm just reiterating many of the
sure.
things that I hear. I hear
That's
this
right.
from people that call in to the shows, and I hear this from, or I read about this. You don't hear much about this on the mainstream media. You get this idol worship. You get images of successful people, and I say successful with quotation marks. These dysfunctional movie actors, movie stars that are in dysfunctional relationships, in dysfunctional business situations, in dysfunctional controversies regarding each other or their spouses or their ex-spouses or their children or their agents or the companies for whom they work. It's nonstop. Or with the law, it doesn't really matter. They have to use these people because everyone is so conditioned to idol worship. They have to get these people out in front to be spokesmen for the propaganda, you know, to promote the propaganda. They have to have front men, actors and actresses, who couldn't, if their life depended on it, couldn't act their way through a wet paper bag. Sure. Yet they make them, these huge icons, paying them millions and millions of dollars, and perpetuating this myth of idol worship, which is the paparazzi following them around and the rest of the press interviewing them for TV and radio and magazines and newspapers, and then you see it on the internet, the websites set up to just keep promoting this over and over and over. And that is the illusion right in your face. And people think that's what life is about, especially the young people. But it never ceases to amaze me how many older people, middle-aged people who still fall into that trap. The ones that are glued to the soap operas all day long or glued to the sports programming all night and all weekend, and then all the activities that take the place of that when it's not on television. You know, it's ingrained into schooling that you're going to make it big if you play football or you play basketball. There's a couple of sports that are really big money for anybody fortunate enough to get into the professional end of it, only to see that they become addicted to drugs. They violate every law under the sun about taking additives or using some kind of drug to, you know, performance-enhancing drugs. And then they breach their contracts. They insult the public that pays these exorbitant ticket prices. People don't see the programming that's going on. They just don't see it. And so when it comes down to, okay, how am I going to eat? I don't have a job. I don't have a pension, or my job's not enough for me to make my house payment, my car payment. You see, they've got everybody trapped in every aspect of their life because everything is based on illusion.
Yes, sir, Don. What you described, Don, is their system. That's exactly what you just so perfectly portrayed, is their system that they've imposed upon us, like superimposed upon us. And it's subtle, and so not so easily noticeable until you start to think. Everybody you just mentioned that don't see it, can't see it yet, they're not thinking yet. Though they have eyes, they cannot see. Though they have ears, they cannot hear. And so they are not awake and thinking. They are sleeping still, even though they think they're awake. And that's their dilemma. We are awake. We see through everything clearly. And that's the whole crux of the situation. We have a counterfeit system posing itself as the legitimate system. The legitimate system is God's system, constitutional republic, individual freedoms, right to own property, unlimited productivity. Entrepreneurship is the future for the United States. Great minds, being productive, producing great things that spur the culture, the civilization forward. And so now we have the counterfeit system. Rockefeller's quote, competition is a sin. No competition allowed, no productivity, no, all mental greatness has to be silent, suppressed, and put away, and they don't want the public to be aware of them, and all they do is promote all the stuff that makes their system look good to the sheeple, so that the sheeple desire their system, and their system centers around wealth at a physical level only, based on monetary or physical possessions, and that's the big trap. And so, Don, ultimately, and I know it sounds simple to many people, and if it was only that easy, just rely on the Lord for everything. Sure, Mike. And yet, that is the answer. And I know it perfectly well, otherwise I wouldn't say it so assuredly. But my whole life has been that way, and sure, there's good times, hard times. We're going to be tested sorely. That's the beauty of it. Because if we pass those tests, we're proving ourselves worthy for more and more. And so if we would just get back to relying on God for our health. I never get sick. Never get sick. Why? Because I'm thankful to the good Lord for showing me how to treat my body like a temple, which I do. And so I never get sick. So I rely on the Lord for my help, and he never lets me get sick. Never, never get sick. And then for physical abundance, what I need, I always manage to acquire. I always find a way to earn the money to get what I need to pay the bills, whatever it may be. It's amazing. It's so magical, and yet so reliable. And the more you experience it, the greater the faith, then the more you can expand and expand on that. That's what started this country right off. All these original Americans were so independent, relying on themselves, as they say, but themselves and God. Themselves and God and nobody else. Definitely not the government.
And they engaged in independent thinking, didn't they? I mean, they
all the time.
They shared their thinking with each other.
When you read, that's right, Don, and when you read their works, their writings, whether it was books, essays, or just letters and memoirs, diaries, we all can see how intelligent they were, proving they were thinking.
Yes. Now, we know some of them weren't perfect. None of us ever were.
No, not yet.
so we
we're
can't.
We're striving.
Yeah, we can't fault them for their imperfections, but they're.
That's right, Don, because what they have done for us is they pulled down from the heavens ideals which eventually could take root in the earth. And wow, what an ability to do that. And so it's up to us to keep these ideals alive with all our imperfections. But as imperfect as I am, I'm more perfect than I was yesterday or a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago, because I'm striving and striving to be better and better. That's what I'm all about. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. What's the purpose of life? If I'm not trying to improve myself as a being, as being perfect, as the Lord said, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Well, wonder what our Heavenly Father's like as far as perfection? Well, we can see it through his Son, our Lord, because he emulated that perfection his whole entire life. And so he's the one, he blazed the trail that we can follow. He's the pattern for us to emulate. And so it's all there for us, and it's up to us to do the work, to strive for it all. But it's all a process, and it's all positive. If you want positive, become positive. Otherwise, your life will stay negative.
Mm-hmm. Now that in mind, I think it's important for us to, for at least a couple of minutes here, to talk about ways that one can create solutions. And I want to preface it with a couple of remarks here before we get into this discussion. When you look at the issues, and I've basically outlined that in a sense without using the term the matrix, but or inside the box. But when you're in the matrix, you're in the box, or you're in the maze, or the cage, or whatever term you want to give it.
Yes.
You're enclosed within this system, and this system is designed to keep you inside the system.
And consume you.
Yes, and to consume you, which is why we're called consumers, too. Okay? We consume, and it consumes us back.
See, we're, Don, you got it, Don. We're consuming their excrement, which is the Chinese goods and all that crap you throw out a week later.
Yes.
And they're consuming us even more.
Yes. Now, it's interesting you mentioned that, because the next thing I was going to bring up is a concept, and it wouldn't be fair for me to go into this in too much detail. This is going to be an upcoming guest next month, Carl Perzan, who is an attorney, and he has come against some big corporations. Walmart is one. You were referring to Walmart, and we can discuss Walmart, because what Walmart has done is they have engaged themselves as a retailer of a monopoly of products that come from primarily China, a country which is paying very low wages, even slave wages.
It's slave labor.
Okay, but we have that here, too. Let's not fool ourselves.
That's right.
It's always been that way here. Okay. The ones I mentioned at the onset of the show, the celebrities are the ones that are getting the brunt of the salaries, way, way out of proportion with what regular people earn. Why is that? Because they keep us in the matrix. They keep us within this system of mind control and propaganda and illusion. Okay?
That's right.
Now, I'm making this point not so much for your benefit as for the listeners. And granted, there may be some fine products. There may even be some fine Chinese products at Walmart.
You can probably find one.
Okay? A lot of people shop there. What they don't think of is that when you shop in a place like Walmart and you watch the mom-and-pop stores that were always the neighborhood, glue that held the personality of the small towns and even the neighborhoods of the bigger towns. They were replaced by malls and they were replaced by chain stores, and then you get this big store that is nothing but a chain of one big store marketing all these low quality and, for the most part, low quality and low price products. They say always the lowest prices. Well, they can guarantee that, and yet they are making money hand over fist on the basis of how little they pay to get those products in their stores and here in America. Now, this has brought about many, many problems with the infrastructure of cities, because Walmart, as a corporation, wields a lot of power. They are a big lobby in Washington, D.C. Politicians get their pockets padded. It has to be the case.
It's a big corporation.
Yes, and they attempt to squash anyone that competes. They are not about competition. They will do what they can to crush the competition.
Yes, sir.
And you get all of our representatives in Washington, and that's really a farce to call them representatives, because
traitors in Washington.
They're representing themselves. They're not representing us. They're representing their own greedy interests. And so when Walmart comes into a town and they offer the city, and I know this firsthand in some communities near where I live, that Walmart or Kmart, these big chain stores, have gotten tax abatements under the auspice of providing 300 full-time jobs with full benefits, and the full-time jobs never recur. And in other words, if a 40-hour work week is a full-time job, they will give you 39 hours and 59 minutes just to avoid having to pay those extra benefits.
That's right.
These companies do this nonstop, and there have been strikes in the Walmart chain over the years, and there's discrimination against women, discrimination against people for whatever reason. You know, I don't really get into that so much as just looking at what the general issues are. But the bottom line is that people start depending on these products. Now, why is it that the greatest manufacturing company, the greatest industrial country in the world, no longer makes hardly anything? Why is it?
Hello. Because
we have the talented people. Okay.
Oh, we're the best.
Okay, we have the talented people. Now, Carl Perzon has gone up against these huge companies, against the monopolies, and that's really, even though monopolies are outlawed under antitrust laws, you know, they're not allowed to have the full reign of any particular area of any market, and yet that's exactly what they're permitting Walmart to do.
They always operate above the law. They only make us have to be accountable to the law, Don.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is the consequence of that? Well, all these mom-and-pop stores get shut down. You have to drive long distances to get to these stores, although they're now taking over the neighborhoods where once we had these small mom-and-pop stores.
And you know, another effect of these big malls and these big corporations that are into this globalist agenda of the Rockefellers, then they build one mall in your locale, And then eventually another one's going up somewhere else. Well, once that one gets established, then the first one, that folds up, it becomes a ghost town.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so you always have these dead malls around as well. All that property could be growing beautiful food and could be serving other values for us as far as enhancing quality of life for that locale, but now it's just a huge parking lot with a building, bunch of structures on it that is dead.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the scarring effect of this corporate activity.
Mm-hmm.
But Don, the fundamental is what you're saying. This is the bottom line. It's driving out independent little operation businesses that are the glue, exactly like you said, for our towns and villages, keeping them together as a cohesive knit. And that's when everybody knew each other, you could leave your doors unlocked when you went out. And this is what the corporations have brought us now. Nobody knows anybody in your own town and village, and you're buying a bunch of garbage that they're importing from slave labor operations somewhere where they're making huge profits at the expense of the poor people that are in the slave environment, and then at for us, because they sell it to us still for good money, even if it seems cheaper than American stuff, it's still costly. And it's garbage for the most part. You're going to throw it out in the not-too-distant future. So they've impacted us so severely. You think everybody would be noticing it now. Hey, where did all the jobs go? Oh, they went to foreign countries. Well, why? Well, our government let it. Let it happen. They actually let it happen. If I was president, I would immediately tell every big company like IBM that if they don't get their operations back established in the United States within no time at all, I will confiscate all their property, and I will repatriatize it, and I will hire all the original American employees and tell them, get this company going again. Give it a new name. Get it going again. Here's your jobs. Bring it up. Get this business flying because your livelihood's going to depend on it. If you don't do it, we can't do it for you. We can only give it back to you and make it happen. And so it's so obvious that we're being sold out. We are being sold out. We're being set up for a fall, Don. This whole scenario where we don't produce anything anymore. Well, what can that mean except one thing? We are being set up to go down.
Oh, yes, and it's going to impact people, you know, when people say, well, you know, as long as the prices are good there at Walmart, I really don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Well, look at what they're eating, you know.
Yes.
It is, they have free rein to put whatever they want in the food, and that's the only place you can get food. There's nothing you can do about it. You have alternative choice.
And what happens when there's no food in that store, Don?
Well, is
then
there
what?
Now?
right. I mean, but, well, you know, they think, you know, the people that go there to buy it think it still is food. Now, what happens when they go there to buy it, but it's not there? Then what happens? That's coming next.
Mm-hmm. Well, we see this going on with some of our crops. You know, I mentioned spinach. Mm-hmm. And we've got, I think they had this problem with lettuce, and then we had the problem with tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And there, forget about what's on the corn. The corn is totally ruined. Now, the corn, what's interesting about that is that's going to drive further the price of gasoline up, even though the corn should be grown for food, not for more fuel, you see.
That's right.
Okay. Now, what that does, what people don't notice is that the Bush family that's highly investing in sugar plantations in Brazil will be making ethanol there. Well, that's fine if they want to do that. That's fine. But at least be upfront about it, because we don't need the white sugar anyway.
Well, you know something, Don? Now that you mention that, let me just say real quickly, I heard somewhere very recently, basically the largest American source of sugar is folding up because of the economic political climate where everything's global and offshoring and slave labor crap. And so we're going to lose basically our leading supplier of domestic sugar. Holy smokes, did the Bushes already know this was coming about through their financing activities? And that's why they bought up a lot of big sugar operations in South America, because they're going to control the sugar as well?
Well, their interest is making ethanol out of it, not.
It might be more than that.
Oh, yeah.
What I just said.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it could be. Very, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so the bottom line is, while we allow our community, this is the point I'm getting to, while we allow our communities to decay, buying into all of this stuff, you're selling products in these mega stores based upon price, but there's never any discussion about quality. It's right. Never, what do they advertise? Always the lowest price. With, most of the time, with the lowest price, you get the lowest quality.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, there are exceptions. You know, in musical instruments,
sure.
you don't have to buy or audio equipment, or, you know, there are some people out there that still have integrity, and they'll make a fine product at a very
right.
reasonable price.
That's right. But generally, the rule of thumb, you get what you pay for.
Yeah. But just because gasoline goes up in price, they now have their excuse to raise the price of everything. Do you think it's a coincidence that thousands of stores in all these multiple chains, and I'm talking about the ladies' stores and the men's stores and the shoe stores and various kids-oriented clothing stores, are all going out of business simultaneously, or they're shutting down. I mean, they're all going into bankruptcy, even though they're saying, oh, yeah, the economy is doing great. You see, the illusion mm-hmm. and the news, the actual alternative news is disclosing all of this. This is not being discussed whatsoever by the mainstream media. Maybe in passing, maybe 10, 15
That's right.
seconds.
You know, and it's so hilarious when you do catch him covering it, like you say, blurbing over it real lightly for a few seconds, as if, oh, in Britney Spears or this and that, and then, oh, and the United States will soon be in a deep depression in a few more years, and there's a new movie coming out in Hollywood, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's how they glance over it so nonchalantly, you know?
Okay, now, that brings us to a point. I mean, we could talk about this ad nauseum, but that brings
oh,
us
yeah.
to a point where, now, what does the individual do? Well, if we look at this as, okay, we're inside the box, we're in this matrix, we're in this illusion, this is the illusion. Okay, that we've been talking about. We're talking
That's
about
right.
all the ways that they control us, and all, you know, how could you get out of the illusion of the food problem?
Right.
Start growing your own vegetables.
Just so simple.
And your
isn't
own
it?
Fruits. That's simple. Well, I don't know anything about it. Well, you can learn.
You'll
when
learn.
You're hungry. When you're without food, you're going to wish you had. It doesn't.
That's right.
It doesn't take a rocket scientist to
got
plant
it,
a garden.
You got it, Don. Exactly right. When you realize you're starving and you got a lawn out there, a yard out there, and there's nothing growing on that property of yours that you can eat, you will be kicking yourself up and down until you start to work and start to learn what gardening's all about, like the rest of us. I started years ago by the grace of the good Lord showing me gardening is so key for our spiritual development, not just physically surviving, but spiritual development. And I did, you know, I'm an environmental scientist, and even then, though, when I was learning gardening, I still, you got to learn what it's all about. And it's feel, like everything else, like music, it's all about feel, and the plants are living things. And now, over the years, Don, I've got such a green thumb. There's nothing I can't grow. I even grow figs here in New York as trees in the ground. They're over 13 feet tall. They have branches and everything. And even when my Italian relatives come up from the city and they see these trees, everybody's stunned because how do you do it? I mean, it's impossible to grow figs like that here. And yet we're eating figs abundantly every harvest season. And so that's so key, gardening. The future is done, all come in full circle. The future is the past. The Americans will eventually have to learn through hard times that property, land itself, is the most valuable thing we could possess, and you never let it go. And if somebody tells you in this country you got to pay a tax on it, you string them up, because the founding fathers established this country with the right to own property so you could live on that property and never be kicked off it.
Yeah, so they've been devoting themselves to stealing it outright.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So we can't own it, so we can't grow food, so we can't live independently. That's why they're doing that to us. So we have to be totally dependent on them in their matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And so can't say enough about get that yard going, start learning how to grow food, people, because you need to. It's for your own betterment as well as our whole countries. And it's no coincidence that there's no food grown here hardly anymore either. Walmart and those big chains, they're starting to import a lot of stuff as food from foreign countries. Where's our food? Where is it?
Well, they're taking our food. For mm-hmm. example, they're taking it to countries like Mexico, for example. This is
yes.
one example.
Yes.
Selling it at prices that the people in Mexico can't compete with.
That's right.
They're doing that with our food so that they right. can't survive.
That's right, Don. They're shipping ours. They're exporting our beautiful produce, and they're importing Canada, Mexico, and China's, South America's, to us. These traitors, these cunning, good-for-nothing, evil, sinister forces of the Rockefellers and their cabal and the Rothschilds of Europe, they've got everything so upside down, it's just incredible. And the Americans better just wake up. I tell everybody when I'm in a store and I'm looking at produce and I say, avocado from Mexico? Let it rot. That tomatoes from Canada, let it rot. Do not buy it, and let these stores, let these corporations lose money until they realize we just want American produce. That's all we want.
Or grow it yourself.
You got it, buddy.
Okay, then you don't even have to make that decision.
It'll be rare that you're going to buy any produce in a
yeah.
store in the wintertime more than any other time.
Well, yeah, and they... you are going to be eating foods that have not been irradiated,
mm-hmm.
frozen, or treated in some fashion, even totally lacking in nutrition.
Because they're not ripe. That's right, Don. The bottom line is that we're going to be eating nice, ripe, nutritious food, and the stuff, the produce in the stores today, it's all unripe, has no health value at all, none. If it's not ripe...
It's devoid of nutrition.
Yep.
Now, in the context of all these companies that are folding, I mean, not every person that works in a clothing store is a salesperson. And of course, if you are a salesperson, how are you going to find work? Well, with all the jobs disappearing. Well, Carl Perzan has a both a website and a plan for creating marketing people's skills. It's going to come down to, eventually, in communities, in small pockets of where people are right now, where if you're a carpenter, what can you do? Well, you could repair homes. You could help build a home. Now, it's quite possible people aren't going to have the wherewithal or the overall infrastructure to acquire everything you need to build a home. But there are people that do concrete work. There are people that do... landscaping,
Sure, but what's he going to do for these people?
Well, what his plan is to establish a network of people,
okay,
on a local level that in your community that people begin to learn. Okay, who's the baker in the community? You know, who makes bread?
Right.
Who makes pies?
Right.
And cookies?
That's right.
Who grows produce? Where can mm-hmm. I go if I need corn or tomatoes, or,
yes.
or lettuce, or squash, or cucumbers. You get the idea.
That's great. Yeah, and that's great, Don, because this gentleman's activity is confirming exactly what I just said earlier, that the future is coming around full circle, and the future is the past. What everything got so big and enormous and monopolized, and even though it's all illegal, like you said, and yet they're getting away with it. The Rockefellers, cabal, they monopolized everything. Everything's a pyramid that all corporations ultimately are owned by the same few ultimate wealthiest families on the planet. And everything's big and out of control, and it's going to come back around where everything's going to be small again and diversified as far as spread out across towns and villages. And it's, and one of the main thrusts of it too, Don, will be that, yes, small little farms will start to come back, even though they're going to try to squash it with all this animal identification crap with this UN activity they're trying to impose on us so that we don't get into small farming. They're already going to try to nip that in the bud. They already anticipate that happening, and they're going to try to squash it by making it so hard on you to try to have a small farm. But it's going to happen because we're going to be starving. And we're, anybody tells you, while you're starving, that you can't grow food on your own property, you're going to take a pitchfork and you're going to stick it someplace that's going to hurt that person that's trying to stop you from eating. And so through small farm activity again, the little towns and villages will then become centralized as the hubs of activity. And globalism will gradually diminish as we all become self-sufficient and independent again at a local level. It's all going to come around, and it's starting to happen based on just what you're saying about this upcoming guest of yours.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, it's an overwhelming project that he has put together, but it's very well planned out.
It's going to
enable someone, maybe a school teacher that has lost their job will find a job tutoring some kids or teaching in a different environment.
Yeah.
A doctor that has been forced out of the mega pharmaceutical system because he doesn't want to push the drugs is going to have an opportunity to genuinely heal people and treat patients the way the Hippocratic Oath promised.
Well, you know, Don, again, that's also what this gentleman is working on, is helping us to restore the original system that we were discussing earlier in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to the original system and getting out of this counterfeit system.
Yes.
That's right. That's great to hear.
And,
can't wait.
Oh, yes. And it'll be based upon the true worth of an individual's contribution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what am I? As far as my vocation, I have been a musician. I have been a music composer, a teacher, a producer, a studio musician, entertainer, all of these things.
Extraordinaire, may I add.
Well, that's beside the point.
And that's why you make the big bucks.
But it has a value.
That's
and,
right.
And it has a value that cannot be measured in terms of money.
That's right.
Okay. But it has a value to a lot of people. I don't know many people that don't like music. And when they're not going to be able to acquire music through the normal means because everything has been corporatized, to where composers find it very difficult to break into the industry because it's bent upon the side of the illusion, you see.
No competition allowed.
Yes. They want you in the box, and they'll spend the money to develop you to be the hoodwinking component of their agenda.
Yeah, it's just a prostitute.
Yes. And so it's going to open up the doors for creative people, artists, and people who are handy in making things like baskets and clothes and
exactly.
Furniture. And
that's right.
You see,
clothing. Imagine maybe being able to buy some clothing, articles of clothing again, made in the USA. Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm. You see, and people, I hear people say, oh, they're going to have to close this IKEA store or this Bombay store. I'm not knocking what the quality of the products might be in these places. They're extremely mm-hmm. expensive, and you pay an arm and a leg to get some of this furniture, and you have to assemble it yourself.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're not you
There's
pay
no deals anymore.
Oh,
going
no,
back.
No,
they're not giving us any deals. That's
absolutely
right.
Not. However, we are going to have choices. We are going to have opportunities. And
well, that's what it's all about. Choices. And that's what they don't want us to have, Don. And you hit it again with creativity, all sorts of creativity. Productivity is going to be like a renaissance effect. And they don't want that. They don't want us to be creative. They don't want us to be productive. And that's why I say we hang these good for nothing. Lard ass, parasites. We hang them ASAP because they are destroying so many families and people's lives that if they only had the opportunity at that critical point in their lives would have took a better turn. These scum are the cause of all these problems, and there's no other solution for them except to hang them.
Or send them to another planet. That would be nice, you know.
Or another dimension, Don.
Or another dimension. Yeah, and let them create it exactly like they choose, you know.
You got it.
I won't interfere with their free will in that.
Amen.
So, you know, I talked about, you know, this upcoming guest in terms of that concept because really within that, and I have talked about mm-hmm. this on other shows, is that in the coming times, we are going to be in a position where we're going to have to be creative. We are going to have to take responsibility. It comes back to responsibility. And anyone sitting at home right now listening to this and is thinking, you know, I have a particular skill. Let's say a CPA. I mentioned not everybody that works in a clothing store is a salesperson. Some people do stock work, or some people are buyers. Some people are involved in some process in the design and the manufacturing of the products that these companies sell. Some people do the bookwork. Some people do the payroll. So there are people that have skills that can be used in other areas, not necessarily just in the sense or in the context which they perform their duties in this particular company that
sure.
has just pulled the rug out from underneath them.
Oh, sure, Don. There's so our country is blessed with so much talent as far as people with great skills, skills that offer so much good for our country. And they just need an opportunity, and the opportunities don't exist because the controllers have removed the opportunities. And and that's why it's so critical that these opportunities come about again. We are like a beautiful engine that is just sitting off to the side. It could run full speed ahead, streamlined, smooth, purr like a kitten, but it's just sitting there idle. That's what our country is right now. It's an engine wanting to start up and just roar, but they won't turn the key. They won't let us turn the key. And we gotta make that happen because our country is being set up for a fall. The ultimate goal, if they want to take away our wealth and destroy the middle class, whatever little wealth we have, but nonetheless, an existing middle class, which is the backbone of the United States as a culture, American culture, independence, spiritual values, hard work and productive, all in all, good people, middle class America. They're wiping them out, and that's all by design, and they want us, obviously going to starve us and poison us with diseases and plagues and starve us with food shortages next and can't afford gasoline, so we can't do anything either. This is all by design to destroy us, obviously. Their goal has to be to destroy us. We are in clearly a battle of survival, and the enemy is operating out of Washington, D.C., and a lot of state capitals, and a lot of county and local town and village halls as well. And we got to gain control over all these areas again and get politics back into the hands of the American people so we can finally, finally get this engine turned on and make this country roar like it's never roared before. Because the talent's here, pal. Plenty of it. You know it. I know it. There's great Americans all around us with skills just wanting to put it to work, and they just don't have the opportunity.
Yes. And you know, they have created a throwaway society. Throw your car away and get a new one. And you know it's going to die within a certain period of time. One of my neighbors works for a big steel company. And he's expressed to me on numerous occasions how they're told, you know, they say, we can build or we can design steel, the panels for this car, the chassis, all the components that we manufacture out of steel, we can make this last forever. And this is what it will cost. And, you know, they could sell the cars to us at a fraction of the price to compared to what they sell them to us now for.
Yes.
And have it last forever. You see,
That's right. You
would never have to replace anything on these cars, but they make them so fragile, so costly to replace or to repair, that eventually the owner wrings their hands and says, I have to buy a new car, because by the time I'm done replacing all the parts, I could probably buy two or three cars. They've made the spare part market even more expensive. And I see this in the computer industry too.
Sure.
And it's very,
in everything now.
Oh,
everything.
Yes. In other words, they know that if you have to replace the motherboard on your computer, which might be the least expensive component, it might be in some computers.
Okay.
It costs you so much money to replace that one particular component out of warranty, let's say, or out of whatever the warranty covers. And the warranty should cover everything. As long as you're not abusing the product,
right. You're
just using it under normal circumstances. You know, you wonder how often you would have to fix your computer if the government and their intelligence agencies weren't always trying to break into it to spy on you.
Sure.
Setting you up with viruses and spyware and
everything done, like you're saying, though, is designed so that we keep consuming their junk.
Yeah, so
while
we react.
They consume, right, and they consume us even more through the whole entire process.
Yes, it's just, creating
That's
that
right.
reaction.
You know, and you look back, I still have some tools from my dad, you know, which are really, you know, maybe from the 50s, early 60s, and they work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Americans used to make stuff made to last when the United States was still owned by Americans and run by Americans. But these foreigners, sure, they want us to consume crap so that it fails when we need it the most and it won't last long. So we got to buy another one within so many years. And it's very pathetic. They are such pathetic creatures, these controllers, these financing families that run the Federal Reserve and run our government, the Rockefeller, Rothschild cabal, and the Bushes and Clintons and all their ilk, they're very, very pathetic creatures that they're only happy when we're miserable. That's how pathetic they are. When they know we're miserable because they're selling us junk that's going to fail when we need it the most,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to be struggling to survive because we can't afford anything. We're always going to be in constant stress because their system is so taxing on us physically, mentally, and spiritually. They are actually happy knowing all that. That's how pathetic they are. All the more reason why we got to hang them so fast and get them out of the picture.
Well, those are their little secrets that they're fearful of us awakening.
Yes, sir.
To realizing that they're just illusions, number one. They're only
That's
illusions.
Right.
You see, these are all illusions. People say, well, wait a minute. Now I've got to have my swimming pool. You know, nobody's arguing whether or not you have a right to have a swimming pool.
Mm-hmm.
But a swimming pool shouldn't cost what a house costs.
Yes. And a house shouldn't cost what a house costs.
Or a car, what a car costs.
That's right, exactly.
Pretty much down the line, everything is that way, okay?
And that, right, but that all stems from the inflating Federal Reserve note that has no real value, counterfeit money, not backed by anything. They print it off a press and circulate more and more. That's why everything's so expensive, only because the Federal Reserve note, which is not a U.S. dollar, by the way, has no value anymore.
Well,
and that's the problem with that, but that's all by design, of course.
Yes, and it's created out of thin air, just like the genealogies of the politicians.
Sure, and it's all part of the illusion that you perfectly portray. And which brings me back to what you were referring to earlier at the very beginning, Don, with Michael Reagan's comments about promoting the death, and he'll even pay for the bullets of that individual who...
Right.
Clearly just
well, for anyone who shoots a 9/11 truther is what he
okay.
said.
Okay, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Now, and he feels that 9/11 truthers are traitors, isn't that right?
Oh, yeah. I listened to this this dysfunctional argument. In fact, there was a caller that called into his show, and he's taking the words he said and trying to twist it into... into the spin that he wants. And it's obvious.
Yes.
He just kept pressing for the same answer to the same question, which wasn't even based upon a comment that this caller made.
And now, it's all over basically, I think his name is Mark Dice, right?
Yes.
Okay, and he wanted to solicit awakening truthful information to our brothers and sister military people serving abroad, making them aware of what's really going on, that the war on terrorism is basically all an illusion. And apparently Mikey Reagan considers that treason. And after just listening to that, Don, I would ask Mikey Reagan, who's the traitor, Mikey? Those that are selling out our country to slave labor, communist countries, shipping out all the good jobs that the middle class survived on? Who's the traitor, Mikey? The those that want our borders sealed and our military brought home to shut their borders down so that no acts of terrorism can ever enter and walk in across our borders? Are we the traitors because we want that? Are we traitors because we don't want a counterfeit money? Who's the traitor, Mikey? Your dad, Mike Reagan, wanted the Panama Canal back in the hands of the United States, and I was proud to be part of that, working with General Singlob back in the early 80s. And your dad right now is rolling in his grave because the commie Clintons gave it back to the Panamanians, of course, who really gave it to the
Chinese. The Chinese.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So, Mikey Reagan, we're against that. We want the Panama Canal back in the hands of the U.S. Are we traitors for that, Mikey?
Well, his comment to this caller was, don't bring my father into this. This isn't about my father.
Oh, sure. Too late for that.
Well, you remember how dysfunctional that family was anyway. You know.
Yes, that's right. But irregardless of that, his dad, as president of the United States, set a mark of what it's all about to be independent. And we lost all that ever since his dad was out of office, ever since it's all gone downhill. And Mikey Reagan is supporting all those that have gone against his dad's activities as president, trying to keep our country independent and secure. Because
mm-hmm.
the Panama Canal is the most strategic Navy geographical location in the Western Hemisphere for our security. And when we gave it away, first under Carter, then we got it back with President Reagan. And then when Commie Clinton came in and gave it away again, if that wasn't an act of high treason for the national security of our country, then nothing else is. And yet a lot of Americans aren't even talking about that anymore.
Yeah, I sorely missed Reagan's comment, too. He was rolling over in his grave, I'm sure. And I could have used a, well, there you go again. But but it didn't happen.
That was good. And that would have been perfect because his Mikey Reagan, who I think is his stepson of Ron Reagan.
Yes.
Yes. And so he's clearly, that apple definitely rolled far from the tree, but that's because it's really not from that tree.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not the traitors, Mikey Reagan. You're a traitor if you're supporting the cabal that is selling out our country lock, stock, and barrel into this globalist agenda. You're the traitor, and you also should be off the air and in jail for threatening the lives of innocent Americans that haven't threatened you in any way.
And where are the politicians with their charges of hate speech? Where are they? I mean, this was outright solicitation to murder.
Don, if you said that or anybody else said that with a radio show, they'd come after you in within 24 hours, be pounding your door down. So they should be doing that to this. It sounds like Mikey Reagan's a terrorist, Don.
Mm-hmm.
I think the FBI should get on his case real quick. If that's not an act of terrorism, what is under the Bush dialect?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. But you see, that's the hypocrisy in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Certain individuals are afforded certain rights that others are not.
Now, the old double standard that they impose on us constantly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he was able to flee the country.
Interesting. I wonder why.
Yeah. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
So, we touched on a lot of issues. We're out of time tonight, but this was interesting. I know we could go on and on about the problems, but the solutions are coming. They're coming. Yes. They're being created, and I'm happy that I'm going to be able to have a guest on to talk about this, because it's going to be a way that not just our listeners on this show, but people in local communities all over the country can immediately put these principles to work. And you know what's interesting? This website he has created and this service that he's going to provide won't cost anyone a penny.
Wow.
There's no charge for this.
Boy, that's something.
Okay, he has an agenda for this, but obviously and I'm in total agreement with him, is that this is going to put the power back in the hands of the small guy.
That's what it's all about. That's what our country is all about. The power is supposed to be in the people's hands.
With the individual. And it gives the individual the power to take control of their lives instead of having someone else control their life.
Mm-hmm. Well, Don, that is an individual thing. It doesn't come from the outside. We as individuals have to assume that ourselves. And it's just a matter of being educated as to what we are and what we are not. Once we realize what we are and what we are not, everything changes. And then through the experience of seeing it working in your life, your faith will grow and you realize there's a higher power, I'm connected to it, it's connected to me. And when I conduct myself in this specific manner consistently, day in, day out, everything just seems to start to click, come together, work out.
Sure.
Remain positive. Everything always ends up that way. It's beautiful.
And can you imagine cities getting fixed? You know, roads getting fixed and the infrastructure of each town with all the things, all the taxes we're paying, and nothing's being repaired. The money's being stolen. And
that's right.
Nothing's being fixed.
That's right. We are being set up to rot.
Yes. And so this is going to give the individual back his or her dignity. And, you know, the happiness that's created out of doing what you love doing, doing something that you're skilled at, that is appreciated by the recipient of your service or your creativity, is very nurturing to your health, regardless of what you're eating, and your happiness.
That's right. Your spiritual well-being is centered on that sense of being productive and knowing that you're coming through for your employer, whoever that person may be that's hiring you. You're coming through making them happy, and they like you for it. Boy, I mean, what more can you ask for in your job?
Exactly. And, you know, you won't look at your job. Anyone that really enjoys their work never looks at their job as a job.
That's right, Don.
They look at it as
a living.
Well, yeah, they're living and being.
It's a living,
fulfillment of their own sovereignty and their choices.
And don't get focused. That's right. And once you acquire one talent and you get real good at it, don't be content. Develop another talent and another talent and another talent. So you are so multifaceted that you just, there won't be enough time in a day to do everything you want to do because you like doing it because you're good at it. Gardening, some music, some carpentry, some masonry, some mechanic work, some cooking, baking, whatever it is.
Hairstyling, shoe repair, bicycle repair. It goes on and on.
It's unlimited. It's all up. It's as diverse as we are as individuals. There's no limit to all the various talents we can acquire. And the more we have, the happier we're going to become because it's all about productivity. Happiness is productivity. All the people that aren't really happy with themselves, Don, are just, you know, they don't do anything with their lives. They're not doing, at that, you know, while they're not happy at that stage in their life, they're not doing anything productively where it's feeding their soul.
Yes, that's true. Well, Michael, we are out of time. We're going to have to say goodnight to the audience. I want to urge people who are interested in Michael Anthony's private stock, take a look at my sponsors page at directlightproductions.com. He's got some great herbal products there. The dragon juice is phenomenal. The dragon juice will lift your spirits and keep you humming all day. I don't know what else to say about it. It's a great, great product.
Thank you.
And the herbal tea is very good, too, by the way. It's a very refreshing drink on a hot day, chilled.
Yes, it is. Very, very refreshing. Got to have it.
Yes. And let's see. Now, I know we're going to be having you on the show next month.
Oh, great. Thank you, Don. It's always a lot of fun, Don.
So we'll figure out the dates, and we're going to get back into some discussions that we began, last month, actually, talking about the founding of our country. In fact, it would be great to have you on the show around the time that we have the 4th of July. Of course,
that'd be great, Don.
How about the 3rd? Can we go?
That sounds great. Yeah, the 3rd for us will be the 4th in the morning. So
yeah,
that's great, Don. Great.
It'll give people something to think about before the 4th hits. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be perfect, Don. We can really get into some great history on the founding of this country to inspire everybody.
And I have some patriotic music prepared for that evening.
Nice.
And we'll have our own fireworks that night.
Excellent. Excellent.
You know, Jim Murray will be on the 4th, provided, you know, his schedule is open. So
great.
So, okay. So, Michael Anthony, it's settled. We'll be on the show again on July 3rd, and we'll do a special tribute to the 4th of July.
Looking forward.
So you got some homework to do.
I'll be ready.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say goodnight to the guests. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints, and we started at 111. Now it's 222, which is interesting. Is that a coincidence or what?
Everything's coincidental.
Yeah. You've been listening to Evident Footprints. Our special guest, Michael Anthony, will be back again on July 3rd. Make sure you tune in for that show. In the meantime, I would like to thank everyone for tuning in. Thank Don Newsom for making this show possible, as well as Seth Hendrick and Marcella on the sound. Good job tonight, folks. Sounded crystal clear. Hope it was good for you folks out there. And we are going to wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.
$1,000 per week take you? Discover the exact details of a simple and proven system that quickly puts $5,000 to $10,000 in many students' pockets every week. What's most amazing is that there are almost no computer skills required, and you can start pulling in cash automatically within just a few hours. We are absolutely convinced that our proven system will create massive wealth for virtually anyone, and we'll prove it. Go to bbscashflow.com now and get all the details. That's bbscashflow.com.